superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I want to have players who give me joy.
Rodgers looks, rainbows, right side. He's got his man, Devontae Adams.
Herbert to Guyton, 70 yards.
Russell's going to lay it up over the top, lock it, makes the catch.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rich, you guys are phenomenal.
Today's guests from NBC Sports, Peter King, Cardinals cornerback Patrick Peterson, MLB commissioner Rob Manfred, plus Academy Award winning actor Matthew McConaughey. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Pleased to be here from Los Angeles, California. Boy, do we have a great three-hour show right for you here on Peacock, NBC Sports on Peacock, Sirius XM Channel 211, the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, headlined by the mightier 1090 here in Southern California. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman.
Hey, bud. What's happening, man?
Mike Del Tufo, good to see you. Chris, I wasn't planning on starting this way, but I don't know the next time you're going to show up here on a Monday dressed like Cam Newton.
You know, it's not looking good. When do the Pats play the Jets next?
Hey, you can look that up. That's probably about it. Yeah. That's probably about it. But, we have time to discuss that. T.J. Jefferson settling into his seat, as always here, our social media grandmaster. Good to see you today, T.J. Jefferson.
Kaboom. Guess who stepped in the room.
Okay, very good. I'll take that as a hello. Very good. So here, I gotta tell you, this was one of those weekends where, thankfully, I got lost in everything. What a great sports weekend this was! From obviously yesterday's NFL action that did go off all as planned. Saturday. Now, obviously, I am a Big Ten guy, as everyone knows, and I do believe the return of the Big Ten brought me into the college football tent in a way that I have not been. Present over the last few weeks.
I buy that.
So seeing the return of Big Ten action got me locked in and feeling great and fired up. And the college football weekend was insane from the finish of Indiana and Penn State to the Rice kicker in overtime ringing. Ringing the uprights like it was a triangle, you know, like coming, dinner's ready. Just a football.
Quadruple doink.
I know. I've never seen anything like that.
What?
And then the World Series game four ending like it was a Little League World Series game. I haven't seen that in a while. My, you know, a pandemic has kept my my kids off the sports field. And seeing the Tampa Bay Rays come back from staring a 3-1 deficit and Clayton Kershaw taking the mound in a decisive game five instead of game five was pivotal. And the Dodgers, despite losing in one of the most mind-blowing ways, one of the most amazing finishes to a World Series game, the Dodgers were able to bounce back. And Clayton Kershaw, did he win a second game of this World Series? Did that happen last night,
Chris? Yeah, he did.
Huh.
He did.
How about Clayton Kershaw winning not one but two World Series games in the same year?
Don't hurt yourself going higher register.
No. I shouldn't.
I mean, it happened.
Dodgers are now one game away from winning it all. And then the NFL campaign that included Tom Brady going to Las Vegas, hitting the yo and
the
seven
eights,
on the come out.
I mean,
and
everything.
And then hitting
down.
The point, hitting the point after loading, after wiring the table. So that happened, Sunday Night Football. And then my lock of the week, staring right at Michael Irvin once again as he took whoever was playing the Jets. I looked at him right in the face, my lock of the week, doom, doom. The Washington football team against the Dallas Cowboys. And sure enough, before Andy Dalton was frighteningly lit up by John Bostic, who, congrats to him, he's not going to get suspended, for one of the dirtiest, most vicious hits I've seen in quite some time on an NFL field. Way before all that happened, the Dallas Cowboys had pooped the bed in the frigid nation's capital. And the Dallas Cowboys now are staring directly into the abyss of having to start a quarterback from James Madison University on Sunday Night Football against your first place Philadelphia Eagles. Dallas now having lost five of their first seven games. Unacceptable response to Dak getting hurt. Unacceptable response to even Andy Dalton getting hurt. Team's got seemingly zero heartbeat. Zero heart. Somebody going to step up and start making plays for this team or what? Is that going to happen? Because unbelievably, they're still in it. Because I have the fact here in front of me from NFL Network Research. And when they say it, you can believe it. The National Football Conference Eastern Division represents the first time in NFL history every team in the division has at least fewer than three wins through 7 weeks of an NFL season. Never before have we seen this sort of dumpster on fire, top to bottom in a division, quite like the NFC East. Nobody has three wins. Nobody. Talk about that with Peter King when he's first up. And our final guest of the day is a diehard Washington football fan. Happens to be an author now to go along with his Academy Award. Matthew McConaughey will join us. His new book, I'm holding it up right here. Well, you could see him right there. Green Lights is his name of his new book. Patrick Peterson will be joining us in about 30-some-odd minutes' time. Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, in the off day between games 5 and 6 of the bubbled-up World Series in the state of Texas, the MLB commissioner, Rob Manfred, will join us. What an incredible game 4 we saw on Saturday night, and I want to put a pin in that because I want to continue talking a little bit of football right here. And I do want to mention Tom Brady and the state of your Patriots, sir.
It's not good.
So far, 7 weeks in, and right now it sure looks like TB12 has the old leg up on his former team. Now, you could say that they have, oh yes, they do. You could say that they've put together the NFL version of a super team.
Yeah, they have a much better roster.
Well, they've been putting together even better since Brady has arrived. When Brady arrived back in March, a gift on Dick Vitale's doorstep in Tampa, that he was just like, okay, we'll hook him up with Arians, and there's Evans and Godwin. First sets of Pro Bowl teammates at the wide receiver position since Kurt Warner had Anquan Boldin and Larry Fitzgerald together in their Super Bowl run from a decade ago. Okay, there you go. And a defense that putting it together last year with Todd Bowles coordinating. And okay. And then we see what happens. Just the mere fact that Brady's not going to throw 19 pick sixes is good enough. And then Gronk comes out of retirement. And then Leonard Fournette gets cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And now Antonio Brown. And I will say this about Antonio Brown. I've said it here before. I will say it again. When I first met him, he was on the set of Thursday Night Football after he, I believe, in year two, was beginning to ball out and give credence to the Steelers front office sense that Mike Wallace wasn't worthy of the long-term contract at the receiver position. But this kid from South Florida who had to go prove himself at Central Michigan University to be drafted in the fifth round of an NFL draft and begin to ball out in a Hall of Fame type manner. We didn't know at the time when he showed up on Thursday Night Football, but he was somebody who had it. There was a light on. I don't know what's going on with his light now. It's been blinking, flashing red for a couple of seasons now. And everybody who is involved in this, I adore. I adore the general manager of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who's been on this program a handful of times, Mr. Light. I love Mr. Arians as well, Coach B.A., who has received awards for his literal awards for his sensibilities in terms of hiring women onto his staff in terms of women's issues, women's rights. He's been at the forefront of all that. TB12, my gosh. I look at him and my kids wear Brady jerseys because my wife grows up in the Massachusetts area. And when we start having children and they love Tom Brady and they want to put the jerseys on, and even though I'm a New York Jet guy, I don't want child services to come take them away from me by demanding they root for the Jets while Tom Brady is winning all those championships for my wife's team. Would love it for my children to grow up like TB12. I just hope Antonio Brown is worthy of you being the latest to put your reputations on the line for him. And I hope this guy who showed up on video barking at the mother of his child in the most profane manner in front of his children, one of the most disturbing videos I have seen, to stink up my social media timeline. I hope that guy has, as Bruce Arians said, matured. An interesting word to use for somebody who is a 30-year-old. I hope so. I hope so, because the Bucs are a team to root for. I'm enjoying watching them. The way that they played football the last 2 weeks, the way that they started dismantling the Packers, handing them to date their only loss, Green Bay bounced back, and that's no surprise. Told you in my four downs last week to just chill out, relax. I'm not surprised about that. The way that they balled out defensively, and that led to the offense beginning to come around. And then yesterday, a 40-burger, and Brady at age 43 putting up 45 points, accounting for five touchdowns, five of them, four through the air, dropping dimes, throwing darts, finding receivers, throwing them open. My God, 23-year-olds can't play like the 43-year-old is right now. I hope for his sake and Arian's sake and the Glazers' sake, I hope for everybody's sake that they are putting aside everything we saw from the frostbitten feet to the craziness with the helmet to what happened with supposedly, reportedly, allegedly, or we see it in texts, what he was doing to somebody who he was in his employ. Horrible stuff. Awful stuff. Second chance. Third. This is like his 19th chance. So I'll sit back and I'll see, and I hope for the Bucs' sake that what I'm seeing, and for everyone else's sake, and for Antonio Brown's sake, quite frankly. Because, you know, I heard it from Michael Irvin at the end of the set yesterday on game day morning. Kudos to Brady for sticking with this guy and giving him a chance. And Arians is all about second chances. The number of times that you hear about this is all about second chances. It's not a second chance. It's literally fourth, fifth, sixth chance. He's supremely talented. He's a Hall of Fame wide receiver. Brady, no doubt, sees the window of opportunity here for him to win one more. Certainly with New England down in the dumps. And you can't sit here and think he's not somehow, some way, small piece, when it's all quiet time, hooked up to sodium pentothal, not thinking that's about right without me being there. He's seeing this is a chance to do it. And add Antonio Brown. Scotty Miller made an incredible catch because Brady threw it exactly, I mean, on the spot. A perfect, beautiful throw to the back of the end zone. Scotty Miller made this catch. I'm assuming that's where Antonio Brown's going to be.
Yeah.
Right? And I honestly, I'm not, again, an all-22 guy, but I'm assuming they're not taking Godwin or Evans off the field. And they're not taking Gronk off the field. Who are they going to take off the field?
Yeah, these other guys. But they don't need him.
You know what? You could say you don't need him. Brady, and even though I know Arian said this was a team decision, Brady had nothing to do with it, it's not a Brady thing. Brady, this is what I also have seen in the last 2 weeks. This is Brady's team now. He's comfortable there. He has, I think, the play set up the way he wants it. He's got the situation set up the way that he wants it. He has fully redecorated the new house and is feeling at home. He has done it. He's purchased the new home. He's moved into the new home. He's rearranged the furniture in the new home. He has set everything up. He's gotten the Wi-Fi in the new home. He's gotten the home office in the new home. He's got the kitchen the way he wants it.
Brought his knickknacks.
He's got everything all set up. He's comfortable in this home. And what makes him feel the most comfortable in this home is adding Antonio Brown, I think. And I hope for everyone involved that it doesn't wind up the way the Steelers, Raiders, and Patriots felt when he showed up and then departed. Now then, I do want to hit real quick before Peter King joins us as well. Last night's football game, I told you, Chris, didn't I tell you? And I'll sit here and remind everybody when I'm right, which is my right to be in this position, in this chair, in a show, in a format like this, to say last week, when we were turning the page from week 6 to week 7, I said, you know what? Brady and the Raiders, at the time, was a Sunday night football game. I'm like, you know what? Everyone's looking forward to that. It is great. Game I'm looking forward to the most this week is Seattle at Arizona.
Yeah.
Arizona had just dismantled your Cowboys. Seattle, as we know, are coming off of a bye. And can't, as I mentioned, I'm not the first to say this, but as I mentioned, just incapable of playing a normal football game. I guess the only normal football game that they played this year was week 1 in Atlanta when they went in and blew them out, and, right, and the game was essentially over by the third quarter. That's about it. But everything else is as frenetic, off the walls, just like their coach, chomping gum, hopping up and down, dancing, and all that stuff. I mean, they literally play games like Pete Carroll's id. That's it. Pete Carroll's id comes on display when Russell Wilson is out there on the field running around and DK Metcalf is running down Buda Baker like that
100 yards
last night. Oh, my God. That play last night, clubhouse leader of play of the year, DK Metcalf can catch 15 touchdowns, 20 touchdowns this year. He can damn near go for Megatron's 2,000-yard season record if he wants to do.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's built like him. Nothing will compare to a seeming pick six of Russell Wilson deep in Arizona's end by the man of the moment from Monday night in Dallas, Buda Baker, running free, DK Metcalf, finding a second gear and running through him like he did on my 40-yard dash simulcam from a couple years ago at the Combine, which I have since posted. And that was just the beginning. That was just the setup. Boy, oh boy, do I love these teams the way that they are fashioned. Seattle went ahead and got themselves their own version of Russell Wilson, which is what appears to be with Kyler Murray, who's becoming to feel his own oats right now. If you see, barking at people who are not performing up to his expectation level. I think Patrick Peterson is going to join us in about 20 minutes' time. I had to go over to Kyler after he was ripping his tight ends who didn't block for a screen for DeAndre Hopkins, a proverbial new one. Kind of had him like, okay, here we go. And then the Seahawks up by 10 because Murray throws an interception, his worst pass of the night in which he completed over 70% of his passes. You give Seattle an extra inch, they'll take that yard. And they did. Tyler Lockett, 200 yards receiving that he topped in overtime. Carlos Hyde running his head off with Chris Carson, injuring himself on that DK Metcalf rundown of Buda Baker. And overtime hits because Seattle couldn't get one last first down. Boy, was I stunned when they could not pick up that first down, giving an extra set of life to Kyler Murray, who set his kicker up for a field goal. And the reason why they needed a touchdown instead of a field goal is because the field goal that was previously kicked that went through the uprights was taken off the board because of a personal foul leverage penalty on Seattle. That led to a touchdown, leading to only needing a three-pointer to get to overtime, in which the following happened. A rare sack of Russell Wilson when Seattle got the ball first. First sack of the night, period, for either team. Then Arizona gets the ball back, sets up Zane Gonzalez for the game-winning 41-yarder that goes through the uprights, except for the fact his own team called timeout because it looked like he wasn't going to get the kickoff on time. You don't want to take a 41-yarder and make a 46-yarder, so you got to burn your own timeout, effectively icing your kicker, who then misses the 41-yarder. giving Seattle new life. After which, Russell Wilson threw a third interception of the night. Last time he threw a three-interception game, 50 starts ago. I looked it up.
Whew.
Week 13, 2017 at Jacksonville in a loss. Isaiah Simmons, the top 10 drafted rookies, the one who picks him off, sets up Arizona for the win. But the reason why Simmons picked him off is because a DK Metcalf little bubble pass wound up in the end zone but called back due to holding. Game-winning touchdown wiped out due to holding, leading to a third interception of the night of Russell Wilson, which is so damn rare, leading to the eventual game-winning field goal for Arizona to make them 5-2 and leave as the only undefeated team in football. Through 7 weeks, your Pittsburgh Steelers, who had to hold on for dear life against the Titans. What a weekend. And I've barely scratched the surface. And I want to go to break to set up Peter King of NBC Sports and Football Morning in America. Patrick Peterson of the aforementioned Arizona Cardinals. Rob Manfred, the commissioner. Academy Award winner Matthew McConaughey. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH and a great poll question when we come back.
You know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico. It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. No, Geico can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in oversized pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat, people, wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to Geico and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Peter King will join us in mere seconds when our radio audience rejoins us. Patrick Peterson of the victorious Arizona Cardinals. It looked like they were about to lose three different ways to last Sunday night, and then looked like there was a tie, and then it looked like Seattle had won, and then Arizona won. That was insane. That was insane. Number of times I've screamed and got off the couch last night in that game was a lot. I lost track. My kids, my two boys were watching because one son had DK Metcalf in fantasy, another had Greg Olsen in fantasy. They were excited when DK Metcalf scored, at least, well, my older son who had DK Metcalf. Zan was fired up. He was going crazy. His younger brother was upset because that meant no points for Greg Olsen. When that got wiped off the board, then my oldest son was upset. My younger son was celebrating. Oh, my gosh. This is what was going on in my household last night. It was so amazing. What a great game last night.
Are they in the same league, Rich?
Yeah. So much greatness. And we're back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. We're a simulcam family again. Our poll question, Chris Brockman at Rich Eisen Show. Go for it. Unload it before we get to Peter King here.
All right. I want to give a shout-out to a listener, Bo Norton. He DM'd us this idea. We kind of tweaked it. But which team's weapons would you want the most in the National Football League? Bucks, Chiefs, Cardinals, Seahawks.
Okay.
Which teams?
Yeah, I did not mention the Chiefs going into Denver and making Drew Locke wish he was Thornton Mellon going back to school in Missouri. Holy crap. That defense just absolutely spanked them around in the Denver snow. First snow game of the year was a blowout. It was a blizzard of Chiefs points. And Le'Veon Bell getting his sea legs. It had been 3 years since he was on a team that scored 40 points, by the way. I looked that up, too.
Makes sense.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Joining us here, his Football Morning in America column is always must read. Back here on the show, a colleague from NBC Sports, right here on NBC Sports on Peacock Channel on Peacock, is none other than Peter King. How are you, Peter?
Rich, everything is going well. I just voted.
What'd you vote? Oh, you mean for our poll question or the presidential election, Peter?
No. I voted in the election. I voted at Barclays Center this morning.
Oh, you did in Brooklyn?
Only a seven minute wait. It was very nice.
Well, I mean, you're lucky. As we know, there's 7 hours is something people in this country would be signing up for because of how difficult it's been made to vote in certain parts. So I'm glad you exercised your democratic right, sir, to vote. That's fantastic.
Indeed. Yeah, it was good.
Okay, so who do you vote for in that poll question then? How about that to start us off? Whose weapons would you want? Would you take Chiefs, Bucks, Cardinals, or Seahawks, Peter?
Well, I would take Chiefs, but I'd have a slight asterisk there.
Okay.
And the slight asterisk is just the fact that even though I would vote for the Chiefs, I would also be concerned about the health of those weapons, because they have guys who are speedsters and who are not built like DK Metcalf. Mm. The amazing thing about the play last night is DK Metcalf is built like a tight end, and on some teams might even be scouted as such. But he also runs a 4.3 4.40, and you know, so I would take Kansas City, but I wouldn't necessarily go shouting to the moon about it. I think you could make a case for almost all of that. I don't know that you could make a case for the running back in Seattle compared to the other ones, but all those places have good skill positions.
They sure do. They sure do. Let's start, I guess, with the Steelers, Peter, since they're the lone remaining undefeated team now that Arizona did pull off that win late last night. The Steelers are going to be taking the Ravens on next. Just one great hit after another in the AFC. How do you see the Steelers setting up for a long run potentially to Tampa right now, Peter?
Well, the interesting thing, and I wrote about this today, is that the difference between Pittsburgh and almost every other team is they have probably, I might call them, five game changers on offense. And, you know, Roethlisberger, Connor, and three of their receivers. And then they've got at least four on defense that could make a huge play in any game. And so, you know, I think Pittsburgh has the depth at impact positions on both sides of the ball that very, very few teams in the NFL have right now. And I really like Pittsburgh.
And yet Tennessee almost pulled it off again. I mean, they're just...
Well, Tennessee, you know, Tennessee is right in there, right in the same league with Pittsburgh. I mean, their defensive playmakers are not as famous, and their defense is not as good as Pittsburgh's, but it's not far away from Pittsburgh's. And, you know, to me, I think that, you know, what we saw yesterday is that for a good chunk of the game, they took Derrick Henry and his impact away from the game, especially in the first half. And so, you know, when they do that, you know, but then again, you saw Ryan Tannehill on the sort of simple cross, you know, to A.J. Brown. They basically, that play, and I talked to T.J. Watt about this last night, he goes, that play kept them in the game for the entire second half, you know, because, you know, you have to answer plays like that. And the Steelers were great in the first half offensively. It's interesting, Rich. You know, I try to talk. I knew I wanted to write something about that game, so I really wanted to talk to Ben Roethlisberger after the game. And I didn't know whether I was going to or not. But after the game, I was told, hey, listen, he's a little bit ticked off right now, even though they won. So, you know, we'll try to get to somebody else. And, you know, I ended up getting Watt. But the interesting thing about that is, I applaud Roethlisberger for being ticked off, you know, because his throw that was intercepted in the end zone with 2:40 to go, you know, gave the Titans that last chance. And if Gostkowski hits it, who knows what happens in overtime?
Well, at least he's consistent, Peter, because the first postgame show we ever had on NFL Network at a Super Bowl, you know, writ large. I mean, we our first Super Bowl that we covered, first couple. We didn't get the quarterback, Tom Brady, with the first 2 years in the Patriots. But we were also still young, though. But the Super Bowl 40, yeah, we were there, I mean, full force. And we've been on the air a couple of years, and we thought maybe this is the year we get the quarterback. As you know, Hines Ward was the MVP of that Super Bowl. Roethlisberger didn't have a very good game. He didn't want to come out. He didn't want to talk. So, yeah, you know, it was also Jerome Bettis's, you know, going away party. But yeah, Roethlisberger didn't show that night because it's consistent. If he's saying that, then it's because he was saying that, you know, yesterday too.
I just think, you know, and look, here's the whole thing. I never, ever get upset if guys don't, either they don't want to talk to me or they only want to do their group thing and don't want to do any individuals, whatever. It's absolutely, totally their choice. I don't have any problem with it whatsoever because they don't owe me anything. But it's always good, especially when, say, that person had a major role in that game to be able to talk to them. You know, like I talked to Garoppolo last night before they got on the plane to go back, and it was really insightful because, you know, a guy like Garoppolo in New England, that was the kind of game that you could say, well, you know, just another game. It wasn't just another game. It never will be just another game. He is incredibly grateful to everybody in New England for what happened to him. Josh McDaniels, Bill Belichick, of course, even Brady, although everybody thinks that they've got this kind of icy relationship. I mean, I don't think they're close, but he's grateful to Brady. It's like Aaron Rodgers is grateful to Favre, even though they weren't close friends, you know. And for a while, maybe he wasn't grateful, but now he realizes that that was part of his football life, and he's grateful because he saw how a great player was great. Same thing with Garoppolo.
And next up for Seattle is San Francisco, who may be without Deebo Samuel because he hurt his hamstring late in that win. But, you know, they're down to, you know, their fourth string running back right now, and Deebo has been in and out. It just seems, though, that the Niners are hitting a stride on offense right now. Jimmy G does look seem locked in, and boy, did you know, with Ayuk and Kittle, and when Deebo is healthy, and all of their running backs, they arrive with intent. They are big, and they just slash, and they, you know, their coach gets them right on the right angle, it seems, at the right time to attack a defense. It looks like they're clicking right now, Peter. Would you agree?
Remember the old days, Rich, back in the 90s and, you know, very early this century when Denver would have all these anonymous running backs gain 1,000 yards.
Is it a Shanahan thing? It's a Shanahan thing?
Terrell Davis. Yeah, Shanahan. But the reason I bring that up is that Kyle Shanahan has his dad's running backs coach, you know, Bobby Turner, who, hey, when Mike Shanahan hired Bobby Turner, Kyle was a sophomore in high school and used to hang around the facility on weekends. So, you know, imagine that the high school kid is now the coach, and the guy who taught Olandis Gary and Terrell Davis.
Mike Anderson.
And scouted him. And, yeah, Mike Anderson. You know, there were, I think, five guys drafted either low or who were free agents in Denver who went on to gain 1,000 yards. But be that as it may, so that's the reason why I look at the San Francisco 49ers and I say, oh, you got running back injuries? Give me Jamichael Hasty this Sunday. They'll be fine. And it was interesting. Garoppolo, I mentioned to Garoppolo how impressed I was with their running game. And he goes, you know, we're way ahead. And like in the last 5 minutes of the game, Bobby Turner is on the sideline screaming at Jamichael Hasty. It's like it was a playoff game and it was still up for grabs. But he said, Bobby Turner is such a great coach because those guys are running for their lives. I thought it was a really good point by Garoppolo.
Peter King here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's the Patriots' answer right now? I mean, just hope that Cam from the first 2 weeks shows up.
You just got to take it, Rich. You know, this is going to be a bad year. And, you know, whereas no one puts the black crepe paper, the funeral crepe paper out for the Jets or the Giants because everybody expected it. You know, it's hard to feel bad for the New England Patriots because they're having their first bad year in the last couple centuries. You know, it happens to everybody and it's going to happen to anybody. It could happen to anybody any year. The Patriots just had the gift of Tom Brady for 19 years. But, Rich, I maintain we saw this coming in the second half of last season. when the New England Patriots, after Halloween, had a worse record than the Miami Dolphins. And it, you could just see it. You could see it on the night they lost to Tennessee in the wild card game. Zero separation, zero weaponry. And what did the Patriots do in the offseason? They cut Mohamed Sanu and drafted two tight ends in the third round. I mean, it's almost like somebody, look, as great as Bill Belichick is, and clearly he's one of the best coaches in any sport ever, he's got a little bit of a blind spot about his skill position players. He just happens to think that they can figure it out at skill positions. And the fact is, you better have, in today's football, you better be able to find yourself a Jefferson, a Metcalf. I'm talking a young impact receiver. And the Patriots just simply don't have one. Look, they tried with, you know, N'Keal Harry, and maybe it's too early to throw him out with the recycling, but he certainly hasn't done it so far.
Well, I guess at least they have Bill, and, you know, if the Cam of the first 3 weeks shows up, you know, and next week, you know, with the Bills ready to absolutely stomp their guts out in the post-Brady era, that would be a good time for him to reappear. At least there's that for New England.
I would agree, Rich, but I would also say that, you know, let's look at one other factor here. Let's look at the last couple of times we have seen, you know, the Buffalo quarterback play and say, now, wait a minute. Did we put Josh Allen among the greats of the game a little bit too early? You know, after 1 month of the season, right, he looked like he absolutely unequivocally was justifiably an MVP candidate. And, you know, he hasn't been as accurate, and he hasn't been the playmaker the last couple of weeks that he certainly was early.
Well,
Buffalo ought to win this game, but I'm a little bit, my eyebrows are raised to Josh Allen.
Well,
right now.
Right, yeah, no doubt. And the reason why I brought that up, though, was to set up my last question for you in the couple minutes I have left, Peter King, here on the Rich Eisen Show, is, you know, at least Bill's there and Cam could be returning in the manner in which we saw the first few weeks. What are the answers for the Cowboys right now? It seems like they are done. McCarthy looks like a shell of the guy who won the Super Bowl in the Cowboys' home building. I'm only calling it like I see it right now. It seems like nobody is raising their game.
I agree, Rich.
What are they doing?
I agree. It really would worry me, not just for this year, but long term, especially when you start getting players sniping at the coach. You know what? I mean, look, I named Ezekiel Elliott as one of my goats of the week this week. One of the reasons I did, for the full week, the two fumbles in the first half against Arizona, the horrible job he did on one of his blitz pickups yesterday, where he looked totally disinterested in blocking a blitzing Washington linebacker. You know, he can say whatever he wants, but Ezekiel Elliott looks, and the word I would use after watching a lot of that game, Ezekiel Elliott looks totally disinterested. Whereas Jamichael Hasty, nobody knows who he is, but he runs the ball every carry like his life depends on it. Ezekiel Elliott does not look like he's running particularly hard or, you know, doing anything in terms of blitz pickup or blocking that is helping his team. And I think DeMarcus Lawrence said it after the game last night. We have to play harder. You know, that's the only solution for the Cowboys right now. Mm. And they have a bad offensive line because 4/5 of a great offensive line as of April 1st are all gone. You know, and right now when you look at that offensive line, that is a AAA offensive line. It's not good, and it's hard to blame Mike McCarthy for an offensive line that's not good. It's hard to blame him for Prescott getting hurt. And again, I do understand that you should blame Mike McCarthy for not having the sort of commanding presence early on that would stop his players from yapping that, you know, about how we don't like our, how we're being coached. So there's enough blame to go around, but this is a, I think it's a unique situation in Dallas.
Peter, thanks for the time. Always appreciate you taking me up on a call into this show. You're the best. Thank you.
Okay, Rich, thank you. Have a good day.
You got it. That's Peter King. Check out his column, NBCSports.com, Pro Football Talk website as well, Football Morning in America. Hey, Cowboys might be one loss away from being sellers. Why not? Fix the cap. If you think this year's a total loss cause, fix the cap and be a seller. If you lose on Sunday night to the Eagles, you're 2-6. Maybe that's what they do. Let's take a break. When we come back, we talk to the one of the winners of Sunday Night Football last night, the Arizona Cardinals corner, one of our favorites, 8-time Pro Bowler, 3-time All-Pro, Patrick Peterson, when we come back.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
All right, everybody, welcome back to our show here on NBC Sports on Peacock Streamer. We're just mere seconds for our radio audience to return, and then we'll have Patrick Peterson hop on the phone line here. He's one of our favorites. He's we have him every year, don't we?
We have him all the time.
We have him once upon a time. Didn't he hop on the phone?
We were talking to Carson Palmer the golf course.
Or we were talking to him on the golf course, and he put Carson on.
Ooh.
I think that's the way it was.
Really?
Yeah.
You might be right. They were golfing. I know that.
Yeah, no. Now Carson looks like Jeremiah Johnson living up in Idaho. You saw.
Carson looks like he's off the grid.
I think last time he shaved was when he was golfing with Patrick Peterson. I think that's the last time he actually put a razor to his beard. Quite something. All right. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. The Commissioner Rob Manfred of Major League Baseball and the Academy Award winner Matthew McConaughey will call into the Rich Eisen Show. Right here on NBC Sports on Peacock Stream. And our radio audience has returned. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. And welcome back to the show, one of the stars of Sunday Night Football, as well as the Arizona Cardinals. We appreciate Patrick Peterson calling in after such a big overtime W last night. How are you, Patrick?
Richie, Rich, what's happening? I got one bone to pick with you, though, Rich.
Okay, what is up? What's up?
You have to add all decade. I worked hard for that.
Three-time All-Pro. Hold on a second. Let me do this again. All right. Mike, put him back on. Put him back down. Okay. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show. 3-time All-Pro, 8-time Pro Bowler, and all-decade team player, Patrick Peterson, back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Patrick? Let's give him a round of applause, too. Is that better?
I'm doing great, Richie. I'm doing great.
Can we commence now our conversation? Is that fine? Does that work? That's good?
Yeah, now we can continue.
What in the world was that like to play in? And I know what it was like to watch. Holy crap, what a game last night, Patrick.
Man, you know, that was another Seattle Seahawks and Arizona freaking game to the wire. I mean, every game we play those guys, we know it's going to come down to the last drive, and that it did last night. And it always comes down to what team's going to make the big plays when it counts the most. You know, those guys made a lot of big plays in the first half, and we made the bigger plays in the second half, and that's what got us over the top.
What is it like to have to keep an eye on Russell Wilson while defending somebody like DK Metcalf? What is that like?
It's a nightmare, you know, because you have your back against him, then you know he's going into the game, he's going to create time. So then on top of that, you never see when he throws the ball because you have to keep your eyes on your guy. So whenever you play Seattle Seahawks and Russell Wilson, you have to make sure that you're very, very disciplined in your rush lane, and also make sure that you're plastering your coverage the best you can, because he's Houdini in a helmet. I said it years and years. I always give you good catch rates too, Rich. I gave you that crackhead with speed with DeSean Jackson.
Yes.
And now I'm giving you Houdini in a helmet and Russell Wilson.
Houdini in a helmet. It seems like you've got one of your own now, right, on your team. Houdini.
Oh yeah, man. He's a special one too. And those guys, it's going to be great to watch that matchup as it unfolds for the years to come.
Well, I mean, to watch Kyler Murray at work, Patrick Peterson here on the show, has been just amazing. Just watching him grow, watching him begin to make plays, watching him be in control a little bit more. And also watching him become a leader on the team, although it did seem at one point last night he got quite animated on the sideline. Were you the one who came up to him and kind of had to step in at some point last night,
Patrick? Yeah, he was a little frustrated last night. And, you know, Kyle, he's a fiery guy. You know, a lot of people are always talking about that, you know, he's not a good leader, or he's too passive. You know, that came out last night, and I loved it. Honestly, he was just being a leader, and it's every leader's different. You can't go by the prototypical blueprint of how a leader should act. You know, and he's been doing a great job ever since he got that scene. Like I said, he got a little fired up. Us as a team had to calm him down a little bit, and once he put that play behind him, he came back out, you know, hitting on all cylinders, you know, putting together some key drives to get us in field goal range, scoring on one possession, you know. So, you know, he's a winner. You know, all he wants to do is win and be in the best position possible to win, you know. And I love that about K1, and everybody in this locker room loved that about him as well.
Patrick Peterson here on the Rich Eisen Show. I imagine having to cover DeAndre Hopkins just as a teammate in practice a lot better than having to cover him as an opponent. What in the world has it been like with him and Larry, and now obviously everybody else at Murray's disposal? Kirk, Isabella. What about Hopkins? Has he added here, Patrick?
Yeah, you know, Steven been doing a great job of willing and dealing and trying to put us in the best position possible to be that team at the end. You know, that's obviously, we know that's everybody's aspiration and desire. But having the talent that we have and the roster that SK and Mr. Bidwell have built, you know, it's been great. And to have D-Hop working against him each and every day in practice, help sharpen my craft, help him get better, to go out there on Sundays and continue to do what he's been doing for his Arizona Cardinals team and offense thus far through 7 weeks. So, like I said, you know, once we got him, the sky's the limit. It's a limit for us, you know, but we have to continue to believe in one another, continue to execute the game plan and play with that energy, passion, and fire, and everything else should take care of itself.
5-2, Patrick, you've been there throughout, as you point out, a player of the decade last year, so you've been around those parts for quite some time, and you were down in the low part when Steve Wilkes is one and done, and Josh Rosen is drafted and then sent away, and everyone's wondering, is Kyler the right guy? I mean, you're now 5-2 right now. It seems like the sky is the limit. Is this what you envisioned or hoped for of what's going on right now, Patrick?
I definitely did, Rich. Especially when we got the head coach and Cliff, and seeing the offense that he wanted to run, and then drafting Kyler. I was like, oh, this is kind of like a match made in heaven, you know. And also, you know, most quarterbacks that come out of college, it's hard for them, especially the offense that Kyler came out of, it's hard for them to adapt to the pro-style offense. But Cliff, coming out of college, coming out of that same, you know, terminology, same kind of play calling, same kind of, you know, flow of offense, it was easy for Kyler to adjust to the game. He didn't have to go through a big learning curve like most quarterbacks. have to do coming into the league. So, you know, Kyler, he's very lucky to be in the situation that he's making the best. He's making the best of it. You know, winning Rookie of the Year last year, putting up great numbers right now. I won't be surprised if he don't enter the MVP race here pretty soon. You know, he's very special, and for what Cliff is able to do as a young head coach coming into his Arizona Cardinal organization and getting it back to where it was when BA was here, that's a beautiful thing to watch and to be a part of.
Last thing for you, Patrick. What'd you think of DK Metcalf running down one of your teammates last night?
Man, when I saw DK, when I saw him drop that head, he looked like a oversized gazelle running down the sideline. He was my guy initially, but he was in front of me. And if you go back and look at the play, I'm trying to run him down as well because I knew he was the only guy to had an opportunity to catch Buddha. But once he ran past me, I was like, Buddha, you on your own. So I'm still running. I'm still running behind him. I'm like Buddha, go. And as I see DK getting closer and closer, I'm like, Buddha, he's coming. Running after him, I'm like, Buddha, you gotta jump. Swerve, jump, something. But he's coming. And what a great effort though by DK, and those plays right there those are plays right there that most people, you know, don't notice how big that could have been, because, you know, we went down there and they stuffed us on fourth down. We didn't get any points out of that. So ultimately we ended up winning the game, but that could have been a pivotal play that saved that could have helped them win the ball game.
Well, Patrick, I tweeted this out today. You know, you tell Buddha, I have been simulcammed against DK Metcalf running at the combine. The NFL Network people gave me a 5-yard head start, and he ran straight through me. So you tell Buddha I know the feeling.
So, Rich,
yeah.
What we need to do is I want to know if the league can do this, man. If somebody could do this, put all three of you guys together and post that out. How cool would that be?
I just need more of a head start on Buddha because I already know a 5-yard head start on DK does not end well for me. So I already know that. So I need more of a start. Okay, if we do that.
I think we give you 15, give Buddha 10, because that's where he ran Buddha down from.
Right.
And he starts at the from scratch, and we'll go from there. And that'd be pretty cool.
And I need you to give me a block, Patrick. You can't just watch me run through and say good luck. You can't do that.
I try, Richie. I really do. I try. If you go back and watch the film, Richie, I really, really try. I was digging. I was like, I gotta go. But I ain't got no more in the tank.
Patrick, thanks for the call. Really appreciate it. You are you're a friend of the program, and you're also part of the All-Decade team that just finished. So those are two things. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
No problem, man. Appreciate it, Rich.
Always a blast. You got it. That's Patrick Peterson. You're on your own. I tried. It sounds like one of those horror movies. Like,
yeah,
they're in the house.
I warned you. I mean, play of the year.
Turn
sometime.
Around.
Play of the year.
Play of the year.
Buddha, he's coming.
No doubt. Clubhouse leader, play of the year. Yeah.
It's incredible. For
DK Metcalf. Like I told you, he could wind up having the greatest season in the history of receiving.
I can't watch that enough.
Buddha, he's coming.
He's coming.
He's coming.
Circle. Turn around. Look out.
Something's coming.
He's got an axe. Put down the phone. Turn around.
Why can't we just get into the running car?
Let's go hide behind those chainsaws.
Oh, my gosh. And then there's the horrors that in sports can play out of a span over like 20, 30 seconds, like the end of Game 4 of the World Series, that the Dodgers shook off to win Game 5. We'll talk about the World Series and everything going on in Major League Baseball with the top of the flow chart. Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball Commissioner, will join us. And your phone calls. And also Overreaction Monday, hour 2, 844-204-RICH on The Rich Eisen Show.
With the holidays coming up, we'd like to offer you a little something special. And all we're asking in return is a few moments of your time to help support a great sponsor of this podcast. We ask that you complete a short survey, because your opinion matters to us and our sponsors. It'll only take a couple minutes. And if you're one of the first people to do it, we'll give you a reward in return. Just go to podcastopinions.com, and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastopinions.com. The first 150 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. All of our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us. Please go to podcastopinions.com, and as always, thank you for supporting the show.